Alicia, a choir that was beautiful. Friends, that is what we commit to as we walk this journey to do it together, by each other's side until we reach that dream, God's dream, for which we keep pressing on. Amen? Amen. Because it's always been a journey, but one we do together. We do not walk alone. And this weekend, we reflect and we honor those who walked this path before us, particularly the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the other courageous leaders of the civil rights movement who call us forward on this sacred journey in our time. And when I think about the timing of the observance of MLK Day this year, I realize that maybe the most insightful description of modern life is Alanis Morissette's song, Ironic. Don't you think, right? Kids, you can find that on Spotify. And parents, I'm sorry that that will be stuck in your head the rest of the day today. But more importantly, I'm reminded that the work for God's kingdom, for justice and joy and peace for all people, has always been a journey. And not always a linear upward journey, but rather, as Dr. King quoted, one in which the arc of the moral universe is long. The journey is long, but it bends toward justice. And in every generation, it takes those who reach up and pull together, making sure that the journey bends justly in our time. And the power of community is what keeps that journey going, each of us doing our part and doing immeasurably more together in community through the uniting grace of God. Sometimes when we look at, you know, at those who get days named after them, we think of that the work for justice is for those single-handed superheroes who can reach up and bend the arc like it's a steel beam in Superman's hands. But I don't know about you, most days I can barely bend over to get my socks on. So the thought of bending this arc in my own strength seems beyond me. But that's not how this works, and it never has worked that way. The arc bends through the work of many, many hands, many hearts, many voices, each adding their weight and their witness and their work to the cause. Through generations, faithful people, each doing their part, each supporting each other, holding each other, and holding each other accountable, and celebrating each small victory together. Dr. King himself had people like Hosea Williams and John Lewis and Amelia Boynton and the Rabbi Abraham Heschel and countless others, and many whose names are lost to history that we saw on that beautiful video today, by his side. And I take heart in the community through the generations. And I take heart in this church community that time and time again has sought to answer the call. Arapaho through pumpkin patches for missions and refugee housewarmings, to courageous stands for LGBTQ inclusion and work for racial justice, to this Thursday's Justice for Our Neighbor training at La Mirada Apartments, helping our immigrant neighbors know their rights. Arapaho has been a community engaged in the sacred work for 60 years, even the ironic years along the way. I take heart in you. And I take heart amidst the struggles of our time that the work for justice and peace has always been a journey, the work of life and liberation and love, the work for the dream of those like Dr. King, who said that one day our nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. And of course, even the first version of that line needed to be rewritten in the sequel, right? Parents, you can find Hamilton on Spotify also. This work has always been a struggle in our nation, in our churches, in ourselves. It's taken work and courage and conviction and creativity and confession and compassion and clear vision. That work has brought us far, but we also know how far we have to go. And we also know that every step of the way, the God whose love compels us forward and convicts us and comforts us and changes us, is with us and for us and before us, calling us on, setting our vision higher and calling us toward it and working in us to make it so. And so on this Sunday, in which we gather around the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and renewing our commitment to the sacred work for peace and justice, I myself want to refresh my vision with the sacred higher vision that God sets before us, that higher vision that pulls us forward through history from where we are now to where we can be and must be and will be. I remember the Black feminist scholar and activist Bell Hooks, who calls this higher vision the love ethic that presupposes that everyone has a right to be free, to live fully and well. The Jesus followers and the leaders of the civil rights movement called the higher vision the beloved community. But whatever name we give it, it is that same vision, a community with love at its center, marked by the celebration of all people made in the image of God, and finding sacred community in our diversity and richness in our multivalent cultures. Some days, building beloved community, as we look out in the world around us, seems like a bigger job than bending steel, right? But the beautiful thing about community is that it begins by simply showing up as ourselves, bringing ourselves with open hearts and open hands to God and to each other. We each bring our own piece of the puzzle. Some of us are good at organizing, others good at teaching. Some of us, our gift is making sure that there's always coffee and refreshments at the justice meetings. Thank you and bless you, Carol Stearns and Corey Bell, who keep our coffee bar here stocked so well. Yeah. We're Methodists, and so it really becomes like a big spiritual potluck, like the one we'll have later on today. Everybody brings what they can, and somehow it all works out better than if Emeril had catered the whole thing himself, right? You can come taste and see later today at 12 o'clock how that works. The Hebrew and Christian prophets speak of that higher vision of that spiritual coming together. Like in Revelation 7:9, the author writes this. He sees a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. I love that they're gathered in the community and the love of God, but they still speak different languages and maintain diverse identities, but they are all connected as one in a community potluck beyond counting and comprehension. This gathering is the work, and it's the vision, and it's righteousness and justice and joy and peace and love that will lead us there. That higher vision of our work is what lifts our work higher. It's what connects our struggle with the struggle. And so as we start this year, we start by refreshing our vision with the higher vision. The vision of beloved community, the commitment to the love ethic that transforms our lives by offering us a different, higher set of values to live by than those we might see around us. Bell Hooks describes those values like this. She calls them all the dimensions of love: care, commitment, trust, responsibility, respect, honesty, openness, and knowledge. Those are the values we seek in our daily lives. Richard Rohr is talking about how to live out Bell Hooks' love ethic and says it this way. It says that we live out the values of the love ethic by cultivating awareness. Being aware enables us to critically examine our actions, to see what is needed so that we can give care, be responsible, show respect, indicate a willingness to learn, see the intimate connection of our lives and fates to everyone else in the world. For all of us, what we are doing today, refreshing our awareness, is important. But it's especially important for folks like me, a white, male pastor type person who occupies a place of privilege in the dominant culture, right? I have a lot to learn. I mean, I said earlier that I'm someone who likes coffee and refreshments in my justice work, and so I've got a lot of awareness to cultivate on the way. Cultivating awareness lets us continually examine ourselves and our implicit perspectives and actions in light of the higher sacred vision. Awareness is hard. It's hard to see the truth in ourselves, but the truth sets us free. And the good news is that we do not do it alone. We do it in a community of grace, in the empowering grace of the work of God who is pulling us on toward that higher vision. In that higher power, we can choose love. We can choose truth. We can stand up. We can change things. And we can be changed and set free. We can, in the God who is making all things new, us included. I think one of the most powerful articulations of this truth, of the possibility of something new, is found in the Methodist Baptismal Creed. As we're being baptized into community, resting in God's grace and love that covers over us, we ask this of those who come forward. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you? We don't ask, do you have the ability in your own strength, right? You have it. Do you accept it? Do you embrace it? God gives it. Will you live from it? And will you cultivate awareness so that it will grow in you and through you? And the beautiful thing about baptism is that we do not do it alone. It is a community covenant and vow. We're all in this together, with and for each other, with all those who are doing the work, and with the God who gives us the freedom and power to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. We can accept it. And the God who is with us, we have the freedom to resist, to choose differently than the world around us, to choose love. And we have the power to play our part in bending the arc of the moral universe toward God's vision. This we believe. It will take courage, God, grace-given courage, but we can. Bell Hooks says this about living it out. It says, to live our lives based on the principle of a love ethic, we have to be courageous. Learning how to face our fears is one way we embrace love. Our fear may not go away, but it will not stand in the way. I've been thinking a lot over the last weeks of those who saw a sacred vision of God, who saw the struggle that it would take to, but did not let fear stand in their way. And this week, I've been thinking about John Lewis, Representative John Lewis, who marched with Dr. King when he was a college student, who sat in the pews of the Ebenezer Baptist Church and centered his own life on that vision, using his God-given freedom and power to bend the arc as he could in his time. And as I was preparing to talk today about John Lewis, I ran into our sign-making crew, Flip and Lucy and Rick and Ken, who call themselves, in the words of John Lewis, the Good Trouble Gang. They've even got hats for it, too. Right? Our sign is often some good trouble, isn't it? Good trouble is that trouble that has the courage to say our fear may not go away, but it will not stand in the way. We will embrace love and follow after it. Good trouble keeps its focus on that higher vision. So in some of his final written words, John Lewis left us with a call to refresh our sacred higher vision. He wrote this, "I've long believed and I have long preached that ours is a sacred struggle. There are forces today in America trying to divide people. There are forces today that are still preaching hate and division. It makes me sad, for we do not want to go back. We want to go forward and create one community, one America." He continues, and he calls us to this. He says, release the need to hate, to harbor division and enticement of revenge. Release all bitterness. Hold only love, only peace in your heart, knowing that the battle of good to overcome evil is already won. The journey, he says, begins with faith, faith in the dignity and worth of every human being. The journey is sustained by persistence, persistence in the pressing justice of the cause. And the journey is informed by hope, hope that someday, in some ways, our restless souls will bring heaven and earth together. And in John Lewis's final written words, he insisted, you have to believe that. You have to believe that. And friends, I do believe that. And I believe that those words still echo around the rotunda in the city and the nation where Lewis served. You have to believe. They echo alongside Dr. King's dream, alongside the footsteps of all who've walked the journey before us and with us, by the side of the prayers and hopes of generations. And they echo with a truth that cannot be silenced, that love is stronger than hate, that justice will prevail, and that we are not alone in this sacred struggle. And they echo in our baptismal covenant. And every time we choose the freedom and power to embrace love, those words call us forward, and they challenge us to add our own voices to that mighty chorus that still rings out, I believe, I believe, I believe. And I accept the freedom and power that God gives us to keep walking and keep working. And so, Arapaho, may it be for us, in the grace of God, in community by our side, may our answer be, we believe, we accept, and together we will work in our time to bend the arc toward God's higher vision. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray together. God of grace, God of love, of life, liberation, of righteousness and justice, joy and peace, God of the higher vision, may we refresh that in ourselves today. And on the days when we need it most, that we see what you see, beloved children of God, in every place and culture, every language, every nation, every tribe, God, united in your love. Give us that vision of the beloved community. Let us know our part in that great spiritual potluck of it all, God, and help us to do what we can with each other and with your grace to be part of the work of bending the arc of justice in our time. Let us know the freedom and power we have. May we accept it, and may we have the courage to choose and embrace love. Amen.